Well, this is scary stuff. Scary stuff indeed, especially if Joel Skousen is right. So I guess we better listen to him and take heed with some of the things he's going to say. Joel, there's a big part of me that wants you to be dead wrong about all of this. I guess other people would say the same thing, huh?
Well, sure. Everyone's got a vested interest in not believing what I'm saying. But, you know, if you look at the track record of these people, you know, and the wars that they've given us and the provocations that they have led to those wars, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin, the Vietnam War, every war has had its provocation. Look at 9/11. We have the transcript. We have witnesses saying that they met in the White House and they said, now, how can we use this to justify going into Iraq? And then someone said, no, we need to go into Afghanistan first.
Okay, but if all that were true, and we know a lot of it is, it was based on wanting to win eventually. In this scenario, I don't see us winning. How do we win?
Now that's an interesting point. I think, and my general theory is probably unique in this area. I think that there's going to be a secret deal made with China to betray Russia during the war. I don't think we can win absorbing a nuclear first strike and beat Russia. They've got a tremendous advantage on us in conventional material after the nuclear is used up. I mean, they've got a, you know, a 13-to-1 advantage in conventional stuff. We have a very high-tech military, but very thin, very fragile, and we just don't have any backup. We're spending way too much money. And now what is Gates talking about? You know, we're not going to prepare for a war, a third world. We're just going to prepare for insurgency. Well, that's exactly what we shouldn't be doing because Russia and China are the major threats. And so I think what's going to happen is that we're going to be unprepared, but it's going to be used as an excuse to drive us into a new world order and to militarize that order. But then I believe that just as, you know, Stalin was going to betray Hitler in his pact, and that's what they did eventually. You know, they had this two-front war, and they couldn't win with that. I think Russia's going to be attacked from China from the rear. But notice what the globalists have in mind here. You see, if you win the war outright with Russia, then you go back to the people, and they expect, just like in World War II, well, we go back to our national sovereignty.
Right.
And we go back to taking away, you know, but they don't want that.
They don't want that this time.
This time they want a global army. They want to keep it. And I think the way they do it is China helps them win the war, just like Russia did, and then China becomes the next Cold War enemy. And it's huge. It's big. We've helped arm it. We've helped with its technology. And all of a sudden, it's a threat. And so our leaders say to us, we have to keep this world army because we have China now threatening us.
So you're saying we don't get annihilated, we get hurt, but we work out a deal under the table with China, and we go and get Russia.
Yeah, I'm saying that our military gets annihilated, most of it, 80% of it, but our people don't. Our people can survive this. And, you know, people downwind to fallout have got to prepare for fallout. It's relatively easy. It doesn't take, you know, a huge amount of money to prepare against fallout.
What do they all want with all of this, Joel? What's the plan? What do they want?
In the first thing, they want to get Americans out of their liberty orientation and into a compliance with a global taxing order, a global, you know, everything. I mean, think of it. They're doing a lot right now, gradually, boiling the frog slowly, getting people used to some globalist things.
Yes.
But, you know, there's always a lot of resistance building. You start hauling a North Carolina farmer over to Brussels, Belgium, to hire an international attorney to defend himself against an international wetlands agreement, you know, violation on his little land. And, boy, I'll tell you, people are going to start to say, get us out of that. And, you know, when they start taking away your vitamins because of some international, you know, vitamin code that's out and alternate medicine, you know, people are going to say, get us out of this stuff. But war supersedes all that. With war, it's just like 9/11. People say, save us. Do whatever it takes, but save us. Just like the bailout. You know, they come out with this threat. The end of the world as we know it, if we don't bail out these big banks, and it wasn't the end of it, it would have been the end of the big banks and good riddance to them. What Americans don't realize, you know, is that we got snookered. They used fear to promote things that really aren't true. And that's what they're going to do. I think they want the power. They want to have people give up any thought of going back to national sovereignty, and they just simply won't allow it.
Joel, here in Los Angeles, I know a lot of Iranians who came here, you know, after the Shah was deposed and, you know, he was corrupt in his own way. They love America. They love Americans.
Yeah.
I have some dear Russian friends in St. Louis. Anatoly, he's one of them. They love America. He lives here. He's got a small construction business now. I mean, they all left Russia to have a better life, and they're having a great time in the United States. I would guess that most humans on this planet just want to live peacefully with their families and enjoy their life. Wouldn't you agree with that? Most humans.
You know. This propaganda by the Bush administration that they hate our liberties is just, it's not true. They don't hate our liberties. They hate the interference of our CIA, of our government, of overthrowing their governments. They hate our government, not our liberties. And that's proven. But I will tell you this, the interference of the United States in the Balkans, in Serbia and Kosovo, alienated all the Slavic peoples. You know, Americans were popular after the initial phony demise of the Soviet Union. The Russians just welcomed everybody that came into the country. And after Kosovo and Serbia, Americans were persona non grata. I mean, literally, they're kicking out.
What should we have done, though, to get rid of someone like Milosevic, you know, in barbarians?
Yeah, man, we gave, just like Saddam Hussein, we gave him the go-ahead to get into Kuwait. We gave Milosevic the go-ahead.
Ugh.
And that's why he was our puppet. And we betrayed him, and that's what he was going to tell, and they had to silence him, you know, and that's why Saddam Hussein had to be silenced, because he was giving the go-ahead as well. They're playing both sides of this thing. So it isn't that I'm saying that there aren't bad people out there, but I'm telling you that there's a systematic evil in our government that has fomented wars. I mean, look at the Vietnam War. I was a Vietnam veteran, F-4 pilot for the Marine Corps, and I'll tell you, our hands were tied in that war. They wouldn't let us win it.
I agree. I agree.
And the
There's
reason,
no doubt about
I believe,
that.
Is they were trying to poison. You know, you didn't see any ribbons saying support our troops during Vietnam. You didn't see any of that. And they could have started that propaganda. That only happens when you have a globalist war for false intentions. You know, that's why there's this hype about patriotism, about our troops over there defending our liberties. They're not defending our liberties. They're unknowingly and innocently defending a globalist agenda which they know nothing about. In Vietnam, I believe the purpose of that war was to forever crush any aspirations of Americans to defend nations against communist threats. They wanted to embitter the American people and get that out of their system. And that's why I think they poisoned that war. In fact, the Air Force did win it. North Korea came to that table, the Paris Peace Conference, ready to yield. And Henry Kissinger, the globalist, gave it away.
He is a globalist. There's no doubt about that. And he also wants the population reduced on this planet, doesn't
he? That's exactly right. I mean, these are, I hate to say this, but there's a satanic element to this, George. This is not just human beings doing something. I mean, these people are already as wealthy as you can be. They already have as much money, and they already have as much power. So why more? I think that there's an occult agenda here as well.
There's a sickness.
Yeah. But it's systematic. It's not just a few rogue people. You know, whenever someone gets caught doing something wrong, they make them a scapegoat and they say, that's a rogue agent. He's just, and we got rid of him, and so everything's okay. But it's not okay. It's systematic. The drug problem is systematic because our government imports drugs and protects that. You know, the terrorism is systematic. It's a phony war on terrorism. We have open borders in Mexico. How much money does it take for the mythical Al-Qaeda to send some people over through Mexico and start throwing bombs in shopping malls and toppling electrical pylons out there in the middle of the Arizona? It doesn't take anything at all. And yet we haven't had a single normal act of terrorism like they have in Israel nearly every day. And that shows you this is a phony war on terror. I believe that there are, and that doesn't mean there aren't terrorism. We're busy building terrorism by all of the hate and discontent we're causing. But I think there's a control element from what I call the dark side of government.
Don't you think, that even if there was not real terrorism out there, and there is some, and we are hated by many, that the globalists would create terror just to instigate us and push us? And,
That's what I have been saying for years, and I have documented. When we ship arms to the IRA, we are fomenting terrorism. When Britain infiltrates the IRA to the second level, the second man in the IRA was a British agent, and he killed people. I mean, they were inside that organization and didn't take it down. Now, they always have excuses of why they didn't. But we pampered Arafat, who killed many of our troops over there in the Marine barracks. We gave him money. We bought him off, even though there was never any peace. And I don't believe they ever intend to have peace.
Yeah, I just had a story of a epidemiologist who has studied disease and viruses for 40 years. He's one of the planet's best. Said this pandemic scare, this virus, this swine flu, was made in a laboratory. And he thinks it got out accidentally. I'm not so sure. I think it's an experiment, Joel. I think it's probably the first wave of what could happen. I think they wanted to see how the world reacted.
Or condition them or get them started toward the conditioning of mandatory vaccination, mandatory quarantines, and you lose an awful lot of freedoms in that regard. But I'll tell you, when you look at his report, when he talks about four separate viruses that have never known to combine before, that can only be combined in a laboratory.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
It's the only way. Is this the beginning of end times?
Well, I think it is, especially when this Third World War. I think life will be different. I know in the inner period you express optimism of returning to the economy as we've before, but I don't believe we'll ever be allowed to do that. I think this war is going to take down this economy finally. I think we're going to get some hyperinflation before that war.
We're going to have some high points, though, along the way, I think.
Yes,
don't you?
Yeah. But what I'm saying, they will hold us hostage, in my opinion, to rejoining in the resurgence of an economy under world government by a test oath or a loyalty oath. And I think they're going to say that people like Joel Skousen or George Norrie or anybody else in the 9/11 truth movement who believes in conspiracy or believes that our government was responsible for this preemptive nuclear strike coming upon us are traitors to the nation, deserve to be locked up. I think they're going to say, you know, you can't buy or sell. You can't have a license to practice dentistry or medicine or be a lawyer.
You can't own a gun. You can't own a gun.
Yeah, unless you take this loyalty oath to the New World Order. And I think that's how they'll get it. That's one of the things they want, is to control or hold hostage people to joining in the resurging economy, which they'll do with new money and after they've scrapped all the old debts. And I guarantee you'll see that happen. There's no way, George, they can pay off these debts.
How will they get the mainstream media to go along with this? Because somewhere along the line, there've got to be some smart media folks out there who will see this picture beyond people like you and Alex Jones and a little bit of me. I'm not that smart.
Well, there are people who see it, but I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of media people, and you know, they talk to me in a very friendly way. They take down my information, and all of a sudden, it gets up to the editor, and they say, nope. This isn't going to fly.
Well,
and they don't have the courage to say, I quit, and I'm going to tell what these editors are doing. And there is, as I say, you know, when you're operating a conspiracy, a lot of conspiracy debunkers say, well, you don't have a worldwide, you know, New World Order conspiracy like Skousen claims. You'd have to have hundreds of thousands of people know about it, and it would certainly leak out. And this is just bogus. In the first place, there's probably less than 100 people who know the real plan.
Well, see, I know what you say is possible, and that's enough to be concerned.
But they use predictable people. They hire predictable liberals. They hire predictable knee-jerk conservatives who won't see past Bush, you know, that he's a globalist rather than a conservative. You know, you've seen what they do to the Christian ministry. They invite them to the White House. Bush bears his testimony to them about Jesus Christ. They walk away thinking they've had a divine experience, and then Bush starts to use the F word and the four-letter word after they leave and saying, boy, did we snooker those guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of evil we're dealing with, systematic lying, taking advantage of people, and taking advantage of their naivete. And I think people have to wake up in America that the issue, as much as it's denigrated and as much as the media will just crucify you in the mainstream if you mention conspiracy, that is the issue that we must confront, is that we have got people who are secretly adhering to this globalist agenda and are pretending to be in our best interest. I mean, even Obama claiming change. Nothing, I say, is changing. He claims that they've shut down the secret prisons. How does he know? There's a dark side of government that doesn't tell him squat.
Well, what has changed is all our private businesses have now been, they've been nationalized. General Motors
absolutely.
Is gone. Chrysler is gone.
Asking,
banks are
they're,
gone.
They're praying for it. They're saying, take us. You know, we don't want to be the free market. We want to be saved. And the more they give us a crisis, the more people, you watch what happens if the banks start to fail in ever-increasing number. People just say, save us.
Howard Beale was right in the movie Network. Please help us, save us, leave us alone.
Save us. That's what the Hegelian dialectic about conflict creation is all about. And that's why they play both sides of every issue, and they control both sides. I mean, we have, disinformation agents throughout the Internet that try to cast spurious conspiracy theories about 9/11 to discredit.
When did you start to change? Because you weren't always this way. When you were working with Reagan, you weren't this way. You must have changed. Something happened. What did you see?
Well, it was the Kennedy assassination that started me to realize, we know so much now after so many years. So many people have come out of the woodwork and admitted to being assassins on the grassy knoll and fingered who in the mafia and the CIA were doing it. And we look at Arlen Specter and the role he played in the magic bullet theory, and he rose to be a senator. And we look what happened to Gerald Ford, who was on the commission, and he rose to be president. I mean, this is a system. When you start to put the dots together, and it's a little difficult. Let me explain, George, that this takes inductive reasoning. You have to see a pattern among thousands of little details that the majority of the people are restricted from knowing because the media eliminates the crucial details. They distort the news by purposeful omissions, not by direct lying. They lie a few times, but most of it is by purposeful omissions. And when you see everything, you know, you read about all the whistleblowers talking about the dark side of the FBI and the CIA and what they did and the drug running and things. Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding America, is a good resume of that. You know, you begin to realize through inductive reasoning, there's a pattern of a conspiracy here. There are people with fiduciary responsibilities talking to judges, throwing cases, talking to legislatures, getting them to change. And you know, we don't have separation of powers anymore. The powers that be control all three branches of government. Effectively, not absolutely. They don't control everyone, but they control the top slots. And look at, you know, Clarence Thomas. He's a conservative, but they've got him over the barrel. The Anita Hill things were true, and they've got the evidence on him, and they keep him under control that way. But he's useful towards getting conservatives to still be hopeful.
Yeah.
Not a conservative Supreme Court. But really, they only abide by the Constitution when it's convenient.
Interesting
patterns. Look at the Obama presidency debacle. The cover-up of his birth in Kenya and his, goes to all the universities where he registered as a foreign student. That's been covered up. I mean, look at what that tells you about conspiracy. The state of Hawaii joined in. Every one of the state
Story nowadays is what passport did he use when he would travel? And
that's right.
That's interesting. Well, Joel, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come right back. You do open up our minds, I'll tell you that. Are you a StreamLink member? Well, you can do that for just pennies a day. Podcasting downloads. Just go to coasttocoastam.com to sign up for StreamLink. We'll take your phone calls with Joel now. Joel, one quick question. What did you think of this pandemic scare?
Well, my assessment was very similar to yours. It didn't turn out to be anywhere near what they were claiming it was, but they did do a lot of preparation of getting people, ready for the fact that when they decide one will come, they'll implement some mandatory things like mandatory vaccinations and that's why it's very important to understand, that people need to understand, as I point out in my book, Strategic Relocation, the greatest threat to people, whether it's in war, pandemic, or natural disaster, is the high-density population areas in which they live. I mean, literally, people cannot be self-sufficient. They will panic. There will be waves, depending how bad it is, there will be waves of pillaging that occur as even good people are forced, after the food is gone in 24 hours from the stores or less, you know, they'll be forced to pillage.
Let's go
to stay alive.
Let's go to Florence, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hello, David. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been listening to Coast to Coast now for maybe 10 years or more.
All right.
And this is probably the most interesting program yet. I have so much to say that I honestly wish that I could be a guest on the program myself.
Well, send us some info on who you are, David.
I'm probably not qualified because I'm not a highly articulate person like tonight's guest, but I did want to call in and talk about three things that I almost never hear.
Well, give me some bullet points, David, because everyone's lining up for calls. So
okay,
go ahead.
Well, I listened for years and I never heard the word sin. Finally, one guest did mention the word sin. I would like to tell the American people that America has a perfect defense system, and that's the Almighty. If we put our trust in Him and turn to His ways, we have nothing at all to fear.
Well, the problem is there's evil, and as you said, Joel, there's Satan involved in this one.
Yeah, and systematic evil, and that's different than just individual evil. This is corruption on a systematic level in an underground government that most people are not aware of.
Let's go to Mike in Center Point, New York. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, Joel, your statements about the Russians are outrageous. Not just the Russian people, it's 35% Christian. And not just that they fear the Chinese. They're just trying to placate the Chinese. They just want you out of their hair. They want the United States out of the Ukraine. And the Ukrainians, 70% of the Ukrainians are against NATO. They want to rejoin with Russia. And another thing, the two most conservative ethnic groups in this country are the Russian and Ukrainian Americans. You'll never win another election again if you keep on trashing the Russians and the Ukrainians. That's just crazy.
Now, wait a minute. Let me just stop you there. I'm not trashing the Russians or the Ukrainians. I'm trashing your deceptive leaders. There's
deceptive
our leaders.
They're Christians. Those two men are Christians. 75%
I'm afraid
Christians.
That's as naive as the conservatives who believe that George Bush was a Christian.
Well, George Bush was a phony. We all know that. But
And you don't think that Putin has an ulterior motive and agenda, or Yeltsin?
Oh, are you creating? He just wants the United States out of the Ukraine. I'm Ukrainian of Ukrainian extraction. I want Ukraine to rejoin with Russia at 70% of the Ukraine because we're the same genetics. We're the same people, basically.
It's got to be bigger, though, than just the Ukraine. There's got to be a bigger issue here. Would you not think, Joel? I mean, it's not just
I'm just saying.
Even if he's right about just the Ukraine.
Well, there are Ukrainians that fear Russia as well. He doesn't happen to be one of those, but a lot of the Ukrainians remember the devastation of Stalin and the killing fields and the purposeful starvation. They don't want to go back to Russia.
Putin was former KGB.
Believe me, his leaders, that he reveres as Christians, are deceiving him, and that's my position. And I think I have the evidence.
Well, one of you will be right. Let's go east of the Rockies, Topeka, Kansas. Hi there, James.
James calling from, unfortunately, near the Russian missile bullseye in Topeka, Kansas. We're right between Colorado Springs and Kansas City Missile Complex. Joel, your analysis is like listening to the old CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I've had my burrowed beneath my covers and shaking for most of the show, but I think I've recovered enough to ask a really important question. I was wondering if you could please go region by region, like West Coast, Midwest, South, East Coast, and just tell the listeners tonight, like, which areas of the country are safe and which aren't safe as far as, you know, being bombarded by Chinese and Russian missiles.
You know what, Joel? If you attack, and that's a good question, James, and we'll have him answer that for you. If you let off that many nukes, the fallout will get everybody, won't it?
No, it won't. That's what people think. You know, well, if we're all going to die anyway, so why prepare? The point is, you don't die. Look at Hiroshima. A lot of people didn't die. They wish they were dead. They were so sick. But they didn't die, and that's what's going to happen. A lot of people, there will be concentrated plumes of fallout. In my book, Strategic Relocation, I have several maps which point out not only where the target cities are, but where the plumes and you know, the wind can even vary. But, you know, it's so relatively easy for people to prepare for fallout, you know, and the government denigrates it everywhere. And news media says, oh, it's just like the 1960s when we had fallout shelters. Believe me, you mark my words, someday the American people are going to say, why didn't FEMA encourage us to, you know, have individual shelters? That's what we need today.
What are the targeted, what are the, some of the targeted cities, again?
East, West Coast, Long Beach, California, which essentially devastates L.A. because they've got nuclear weapons still there.
Right.
San Diego is just a hodgepodge of military. Seattle is a dead city. Colorado Springs is... Independence, Missouri, not Independence, but... Kansas City is because of a nuclear plant. There's Amarillo, Texas. It's the Pantex plant. There's lots of, you know, all of the weapons labs.
What about the big cities? New York, Chicago.
The big cities. They may take out New York because of just at the nexus of so much electronic and business type of things. I can't see it surviving the judgments of God, frankly. But there isn't any actual, other than, you know, business and type of things, military targets there in New York. But certainly Norfolk, Virginia, Kings Bay, Georgia, Jacksonville, Florida are problems. Omaha, Nebraska, where the secondary command centers are, all of those are dead cities because the explosions will be multiple to penetrate and burrow down to root out. And Washington, D.C., of course, with all of its bunker cities around it, I don't think they'll get the bunkers. Our leaders will survive with these new bunkers, but the ones they provided for Congress may not survive.
And the cities we've targeted, Beijing, Moscow, St. Petersburg, how much more?
We don't know that. Well, we don't know that.
We have to assume that. I think...
No, we don't assume that. I don't think that the U.S. has targeted other cities. I think, in fact, they're going to absorb this. We won't have very many missiles left at all to target anything except military targets.
You don't, so think, don't think we have coordinates locked in our submarines and at our missile silos for launch? We've got to.
No. Remember, all of that is controlled from the White House. They couldn't launch if they wanted to without the electronic go-ahead from the White House suitcase. So, and we don't know, I do have contacts in the military forces, and they say we have not targeted cities per se, but only military targets, and I believe them.
How long would it take to put coordinates into a launch capability system?
Depending on the preloading, 15 seconds to 2 minutes.
Still not enough time. It should already be loaded, I would think, don't you?
They have preloads. They have preloads. They just have to select, and it takes, you know, you have to give the order, and you've got to go through and have it verified, and that's the thing. It doesn't take much time to press the button to put in a pre-selected code.
Yeah, but still,
code.
2 minutes is 2 minutes.
But you see, they have to also, I mean, under good nuclear doctrine, you've got to find out which missiles your satellites are telling you have launched so you don't send missiles toward that silo that's already empty. See, the one that launches second actually does the more damage, because the one that launches first is, there's a time in between, this is called launch on warning, that when you get a warning that someone has launched, you detect where their missiles have left and you don't target those silos. And those missiles are already ballistic,
right,
from Russia, for example, and they're headed for our silos, which if we launch on warning, our silos are now empty and we get the one who launches second gets the major impact.
Good point.
But that's not what we're planning. You know, PDD 60 said, don't plan on launch on warning. Don't depend on it. And that's a code name for, we're not going to allow you
to do it.
Okay,
but you're also making an assumption that an administration at some point will be tough with all of this and will change this. Isn't that possible?
But only after we've absorbed and the war started, then they will be tough. Then they'll start to pretend to act in the name of God, motherhood, the Constitution, and all of that to deceive people.
Let's say 2012, let's say Barack Obama doesn't get reelected, and the new president says, we will not absorb a first strike. Sorry, but we will.
They will not allow a president, such president, to get elected.
Amazing.
You know, look what happened to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney bent over backwards to try to please the establishment. He hired all establishment, and they wouldn't have it because Mitt Romney isn't a globalist. He's trying to be one of the in crowd, but he does have some integrity. If he saw things in his administration, they know that he'd fight against it, so they wouldn't allow him to be elected. And he'll try to run the next time. They'll sabotage him the next time. They will not, I guarantee you, allow an independent, non-controlled candidate to get elected. And I could tell you stories about how Obama went from a leftist lawyer to a globalist about 8 years ago, and he's controlled. He is not what the left thinks is their darling who's going to give them change. He's going to give them the rhetoric, but nothing will change.
Alexandria, Virginia, Cornelius, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hey, George and Joel, how y'all doing there?
We're great.
Good.
I'm from Alexandria, Louisiana. You off a little bit, not much. But anyway, George, thank you to Tommy, too, and God bless all the Coast to Coast listeners. My question was, if this war or deception will lead to then putting chips in people, and then that will be the sign of the Antichrist.
Chips, Joel, do you address that at all?
Well,
microchips.
Well, certainly, you know, I think that if such a thing comes to pass, it will come to pass in combination with this loyalty oath that they will require. And I think there's enough people being awakened by listening to Coast, by reading my newsletter, by reading others, you know, Radio Liberty and other things that, you know, there are millions that don't trust government anymore and that have.
Well, I know that. That's Jen true.
Napolitano would say is that, you know, a domestic
terrorist.
Yeah. You know, but, and I think that we'll be isolated. I think that they'll want to chip people. And I think the remnant, as I call it, the people who will not give in to this new world order will have to go underground.
See, I'm more hopeful than you are, Joel. I think good will win.
Do you?
Yes, I do. It's going to be a rough battle. But I do think in the long run, the good will win out over evil.
Well, I hope you're right, George. I really do.
But I do too.
I think wisdom says we ought to prepare. While we're fighting for our rights, while we're fighting against conspiracy, we ought to prepare for a takedown. We would be unwise not to prepare for this war with so many signs that the Russians are building. They're openly declaring we're going to remilitarize now. And Russia and China is still hiding most of their nuclear weapons, but that little sub-incident, you know, with taking down one of our surveillance ships out there near Singapore was clearly because to mask their newest nuclear subs that were coming out of their base for trials. I mean, these people are serious. We ought not to put our heads in the sand.
Let's go to San Jose, California. Jeannie, it's your turn. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, George. I have a question for Joel.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, Joel, I believe I met your father a long time ago. I took some classes under the Freeman Institute.
That would be my uncle, W. Cleon Skousen.
Ah, W. Cleon Skousen. So I do have a question.
Yes.
What does the Mormon Church know about this? Because I do know that they teach their followers to store food for about a year for each of their family members.
I think as a church, the church takes a pretty conservative view. They only one of their apostles, an elder McConkie, made a statement that nuclear war, Holocaust, which surely must come. He made that at a general conference, but no other leader of the church has made such a statement. And they're very concerned about not creating fear or panic. They have a fairly positive view of things. But certainly many Mormons do believe that these types of things are going to come because they have a lot of prophecies from the Book of Mormon that sustains the conspiracy theory.
What do you hear about suitcase nukes, Joel? Anything?
Yeah, I'm kind of an expert on that. I'll tell you, this is disinformation. Suitcase nukes are the crown jewels of the nuclear technology. And they require constant maintenance. You can't steal those things and expect them to go off. They have to have very, very high-tech personnel watching over that thing. If there are suitcase nukes, they are controlled by either Russia or China or the United States. And the terrorists who have them, if they have them, are under our control.
All right.
There is no such thing as independent suitcase nukes out there.
Apple Valley, California, we've got you, Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, great show. Where do you find these guests, man? This guy's a straight shooter.
He's been hidden away for 5 years, but we pulled him out.
I can't even believe it. Hey, okay, you talked about Henry Kissinger a little while ago, right? And you've talked to him about it. You've talked about him in past shows.
Yes,
about
sure
life,
have.
Yeah, life extension and stuff like that. I mean, how long is this guy going to be around?
<You know? laughs> Well, he's 310 now and okay,
right.
Strong.
Well, something like
I wouldn't
that.
I wouldn't want to be him. I wouldn't want to be him when he goes to the judgment bar.
Man, he has been touching almost every administration in some form or fashion, hasn't he?
You know, even Spain. Jose Aznar Maria Jose Aznar, the president of Spain, said on a national interview that I heard, who was your first visitor as president? He said, Henry Kissinger. And the guy went apoplectic and said, what is Henry Kissinger doing here in Spain? He doesn't even speak Spanish. And the president, naive as he was, said, he was explaining to me how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet he was.
He would be an interesting interview, Joel, if he would ever just tell all and everything he knows. Do you think he would?
No. He would never tell the truth.
What about...
He's a real expert at covering and with giving excuses that sound reasonable.
What about Brzezinski? Same thing?
Same thing. But he's, you know, these globalists, they play Team A, Team B pretty well. Brzezinski was pacifying the Russians, covering for the Russians all during the Carter administration. And then what does he do? He becomes a hawk against the Russians after he's out of power because he's positioning himself, you know, for the Obama administration.
Well, it's going to be, I think this economic mess, as you have said, is going to be around for a long time. There's going to be some folks who are going to do okay. There's going to be a lot that aren't. And I think it's all done intentionally as well to kind of get people to simply say, help us. Do whatever you have to do.
Absolutely correct. I mean, we have now a complete dependency mentality now in the United States. The bigger the crisis, the more dependent. And that
it is amazing condition.
Very purposeful. Very purposeful. And remember, that will happen in war as well. Nothing creates greater dependency than a world war.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joel. Joel's website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got an incredible newsletter. What he has just said may scare you. Maybe it doesn't. But he calls it the way he sees it. Floating format tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Up next, J. Allen Danilek. UFOs, the Great Debate.